all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie, but that's not true because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born.
Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection, a place of shared unity and equal common ground for all peoples and cultures, a unity not built on separation and blindness, but a solid foundation built on respect for all walks of life, molded by the thirst of the people for change. In unity, bridging the gap, for we are the voice of we the people. Mahalo to all the listeners of Pal Talk and BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are toll-free 888-389-3452 and 877-489-6350. Direct lines, same area code, is 530-776-5144 or 776-5154 and 413-4511. We do have another call-in line, and that is area code 415-287-0074. It is a true honor to have each and every one of you with us for this evening. I am absolutely thrilled and delighted about our guests for this evening. Thank you all for joining us. It is truly an honor to observe all the listeners that we have tuned in to the show tonight. The title of our show for this evening is Give Peace a Deadline: What Ordinary People Can Do to Cause World Peace in 5 Years. Now, with that said, I'd like to share as well the website, and that is www.givepeaceadeadline.com. I also want to personally invite each and every one of you to my show page. Many of you are indeed aware that we have a wealth of information about both of our guests for this evening. I'd like to personally invite you to take your time to explore the wonderful works that both of these individuals are doing. And when I say worldwide, I mean just that, worldwide. So the first guest for this evening that we are going to invite to the show is Amber Lipton. Welcome, Amber, and aloha.
Thank you very much for having me on the show. It's an honor.
It is truly our honor, and we have been really looking forward to having you with us. And before we invite Nathan to the show, Amber, please share the wonderful works that you are doing worldwide.
Well, Give Peace a Deadline is a book that's actually the product of a promise that Nathan and I, that came to Nathan and I about a year and a half ago. We were in a strategy session for another business that we have called Dharma Mix, and the room was filled with whiteboards. We were in Santa Barbara. There were markers. We were charting industry metrics across personal development, the music industry, entertainment, religion. And a moment came about 2 hours into the meeting where we said, why don't we do this for world peace? Why don't we treat peace like a business and give it a deadline with milestones and accountabilities? And Nathan said, how about peace in 5 years? And I thought, wow, maybe that's too soon, maybe 10 or 12. But I trust what comes out of his mouth. And I also realized that people can naturally plan within a 5-year period. And we noticed that world peace is something we, most of us want, but it's always one day or out there. And so we wrote out a pledge. By February 14th, 2014, I will have created world peace as measured by the Economist newspaper. And Nathan signed it, I signed it, hundreds of other business leaders, people around the world from all levels have signed this pledge. And that's brought us all over and has brought us to this phone call.
Well, it is truly an honor, and it was so exciting to actually research the work that you both have been doing worldwide that I just said, oh my gosh, you know, it's so important to have world peace, nothing that you aren't fully aware of. And I know that the people worldwide are thirsty to come together in unity and to have and to play a very important part of participating with world peace. So thank you, Amber, for all the great works that you are doing.
Thank you. And I want to be clear right up front that when we say world peace, we don't mean the end to all conflict or a lifestyle or even an ideology. What we mean is instilling practices that keep us safe from war. Because what most people don't realize is there are 5 to 6 levels of conflict before it escalates to violent conflict. And our goal is to bring the current 16 violent conflict areas down to a level 6 or below by 2014 and to instill a global peace treaty so that among the family of nations we agree how to resolve conflicts in a way that keeps everyone safe. Because with the current rise of war technology, a violent conflict across the world can affect us in our own neighborhood.
Absolutely. I'd like to share some wealth of information about Amber, our guest, one of our guests for this evening. She's an expert at personal development and transformation. She is also the co-founder of a marketing company in Santa Barbara, California, for holistic healers called the Holistic Alliance, a specialized website hosting company serving psychologists, massage therapists, construction contractors, and has recently expanded the Eco Builders. Wow, boy, girl, where do you get your energy from? I also would like to share as well, she has taught many workshops all over Canada with a company called Warrior Sage and is a consultant for the Women's Spirituality Program, one of the most successful seminars in Canada that has now been brought to Los Angeles and Portland. With on that note, I'd like to invite our next guest for this evening, Nathan Otto, to the show. Aloha, Nathan.
Aloha. Thank you for having me on the show.
It is truly an honor to have you with us this evening, Nathan. I know that the listeners of this show have been very excited to hear all the great wisdom about your deep mission and passion for peace worldwide. So on that note, Nathan, share a little bit about yourself and how you began on this personal journey and then brought it worldwide.
Thank you. My background is as an entrepreneur. I founded several internet companies, and two of them succeeded, and I sold them. And I entered an inquiry of what was next for me, and what's next for business, and what's next for the world. And Amber and I have been friends for many years, and we've been in communication. And she told the story of how this aha moment came when peace chose us and pulled us through the rabbit hole into writing this book, into visiting with world leaders, into just a whole new life. And my perspective is a kind of a strategic planning and business perspective, which is unusual in the peace world. People haven't been thinking about it on a global level or as a system that includes everybody. Most people have either considered that there's something that they have to be against in order for us to create peace, or that there's some lack of power somewhere. And we didn't go with those assumptions. We went with the assumptions that the world is a system that we can work with, and we can create the future of constructive conflict that we want to create. So my background combined with Amber's background has created quite a force for giving peace a deadline. And in the course of writing this book, we fell in love, and we're together now.
This is wonderful. I would like to share some information about our guest, Nathan, with all of you. And he is the grandson of Mr. and Mrs. Bill Gore, the visionary founders of W.L. Gore and Associates, a $3 billion family-owned company featured on the Fortune 100 list of 100 best companies to work for since the inception of the list. The unique culture of Gore, which empowers individuals and small teams to innovate for value creation, has been studied at all major business schools and was recently featured along with Whole Foods and Google in the book, The Future of Management. So let me ask you both. Well, let's ask Amber. So where were you drawing that passion and that desire to really take this worldwide? And you've done an amazing job bringing people together in unity. So what was that main passion that you had?
Well, I've been kind of a transformational maverick from the time I was 11. I grew up in the Midwest, and I had amazing parents. When I was 11, I had sort of this empathetic awakening when I was almost beat up by 10 kids. And I dedicated my life to God at that moment. And my mother had great books in the house, and I was studying Louise Hay and Brian Tracy at 11, 12, 13. I watched On Hot Coals with Tony at 15, went to Deepak and Wayne Dyer and hung out with most of the leaders in consciousness and personal development. And one of the most important things they taught me is critical thinking, to look at the era that I'm born into and see, does this match my values? Is how things are what I want to pass on to the next generation? And without these friends and teachers pointing this out and having me develop the skill of inquiry and critical thinking, I don't think I could have given peace a deadline. And Nathan and I both have a background in rigorous spiritual practice. And I'd gone into business probably 6 years prior to that. And it was that combination of both my spiritual practice and my background in media and business that came together and continuously source us in productive strategic sessions, that source us in international meetings and with meeting global leaders. So I feel like I'm the product of all of my teachers and everything I've been given in my life. And that Give Peace a Deadline is a product of everything that I've been given.
Absolutely. So, you know, that brings to mind, I'd love to ask Nathan and I'm going to combine two very important elements to this question. So, you know, Nathan, bring us up to speed. What is the updated definition of world peace and how we collectively as a humanity going to create peace in 5 years?
As Amber has said, you know, world peace has been a vague or distant dream, or people have seen it as an impossibility because of it being the end of conflict. We gave peace a very simple definition from a business perspective, which is that it is safety, and peace is the practices of safety from war. From a spiritual perspective, we see peace as the quality of conflict in our lives. How high is our quality of conflict? Because we all have to deal with conflicts and varying points of view. And you've probably met certain people who have a very high quality of conflict, such that even in their presence, conflict seems impossible. things seem to be resolved by their very presence and their very point of view. And so that's the sort of nuanced definition that I think your readers would really relate to, your listeners, is that peace is high quality of conflict. And then we looked at war and how war has been defined. And it took us a while, but we came to a simple definition that war is politically organized conflict. Like Bismarck said, the foreign minister of Germany many, many years ago, a famous foreign minister, he said, war is politics by other means. And we just recognize it in the political realm, and so it's this notion of the quality of conflict taken into the political realm and creating agreements and understandings and new norms of international behavior that let us resolve our political conflicts in a dignified way.
Ooh, I really, really like that. And you know, it's not impossible either, Nathan and Amber. You know, we, being spiritually aware and sharing that wisdom and knowledge of our understanding, is that we all know that we can change our world in a blink of an eye, literally.
Especially when, you know, war is something we stop doing. If all these other global problems we're facing, the environmental crisis, the economic crisis, poverty, hunger, women's rights, education, all of them require building infrastructure and taking on big projects. Ending, you know, upgrading our conflict really is just a moment of realization. It's the majority of us who want peace organizing to say to our leaders and to ourselves and each other, we want to live in a world that is free from the horrors of war. I don't want to go into detail. That's why I'm hesitating.
No, it's okay. I mean, we all understand it, what you're conveying here with all of us tonight. So with that said, let me ask you this, Amber, if I may, is that, you know, you and Nathan have both personally worked with a lot of our global leaders at one capacity or another. So with that said, are you finding that our world leaders are starting to come to that greater understanding and are willing to now come together in unison to find a balanced and grounded way of gaining that peace that is a win-win situation worldwide without war?
Mm-hmm. You know, Nathan and I have met with leaders from Madeleine Albright to Václav Havel, the former Prime Minister of the Czech Republic, to even Paul Wolfowitz, to Prime Ministers of Yemen, to Mauritius. And one thing we've found is that what I've been told is we need the support of people. We need people to make us do the right thing. Because in a way, by speaking to them, I got the power of us as ordinary individuals and the voice that we have, because they have an obligation to respond to us. Now, if you ask 100 people, would you rather have war or would you rather have peace? On the other hand, most people, 99% of people, will say peace. And yet war has been highly organized and peace has been disorganized. And that doesn't make sense in a world where most people want peace. So what we're looking at doing is organizing the forces that are already working for peace so that we can work inside of this synergistic plan to influence our global leaders. And with modern technology, with the internet, with social networking, we have an opportunity to lead past our government. And I think that's only been possible in about the last 20 years. We just had the World Wide Web since 1993. And so P5Y is dedicated to organizing these 40,000 international NGOs or nonprofits. And in the last year, $100 billion was given in private and from private and public sectors in aid. And yet most of this aid is not organized. So no wonder we don't have a harmonized conflict at this point. So we're looking at organizing all of those forces to influence the global leaders and people around the world for this effort.
Absolutely. Oh, I just love this, you know. And that brings me to, you know, my next question that I would like to have the opportunity to ask. And if I may, Nathan, you know, I know personally that inner peace starts within ourselves. So if you would you share with all of us tonight, you know, your thoughts of the importance of individual inner peace and then coming together in respect of also achieving the external part of inner peace, you know, with that outer expression of peace.
Yes, many people feel that, you know, simply put, we must have inner peace before we can have outer peace. But one of the people we work with and who we've worked with in the past, Ken Wilber, who's quite a famous integral philosopher, has challenged us and said, where is the line between inner peace and outer peace? And what we notice in our work is that people can find inner peace when they start to work on outer peace. And we also notice in ourselves, on our meditation cushions, how can we have a full experience of peace when somewhere around the world people are killing and bombing and really hurting each other? And so it really goes both ways, and that's our response to that question generally. Outer peace brings inner peace and vice versa.
Yeah, last year, one of the hardest things I did was writing the chapter that war is personal, that war is really about killing humans and taking human life, and interviewing some of my old friends from high school who were involved in some of these wars in Africa, and them describing what it is to kill another human being and what they have to deal with every night when they go to bed and what they don't tell their wives because they're afraid that she'll think they're monsters. It was a devastating realization and that they've gone through, and they're for the future of conflict, they're for world peace, and they see that peace is possible for them in working for this cause.
Yes, I agree with that. And, you know, as I was really tuning in to listen to your words, you know, because as an observer, I've seen many ways of expression of war itself. And, you know, as a mother, I have a 35-year-old son, you know, that was one of my main concerns, is that would my son be called to that type of a situation? And, you know, it's not creating any win-win situation for anyone. And we're losing loved ones, friends, associates. And, you know, that was one of my major concerns, is having my son having to do a situation like that. Not to mention where these individuals, what it's done to them on a very deep core level within their own souls.
And no woman in the West, when she's present to the word war, that means making another woman homeless and heartbroken, actually wants to participate. As when mothers are really present to what war means, there's no longer a support for that. And I see women as playing a very crucial part in P5Y, or Peace in 5 Years. And like Women for Women International has done an amazing job of networking women around the world. And with P5Y, we're not reinventing the wheel. We're getting all of these wheels talking, or all of these organizations that are already highly networked, talking and collaborating within this plan.
Oh, I love it.
And what many people don't know is that, unlike what we see many times in the media, is the trend is already towards peace. That Steven Pinker, a Harvard polymath, was looking at the numbers from the University of Maryland and concluded the number of deaths by war is actually declining. And based on population, we're actually in the most peaceful time in history. But you wouldn't know that by turning on the 10 o'clock news.
Well, that's the truth.
Yeah.
So, if I may interject here for just a moment, for all those that have joined us for this evening's show, welcome to each and every one of you. Our title for tonight is Give Peace a Deadline, What Ordinary People Can Do to Cause World Peace in 5 Years. Nathan and Amber are the authors of this incredibly powerful and insightful book. I've had the wonderful opportunity to actually dive into this book, and I have to say, it really touches you at the core of your essence and really gets you to stop and think. And I asked myself some very important questions. As an individual, am I part of the solution or part of the problem? And how may I, as taking the responsibility, because we all know that it's all of our responsibility worldwide to come together and contribute to world peace. And it was quite amazing that this book took me on this journey in an area at a level that I would never have thought that I could have gone to. And so I truly invite each and every one of you to really explore this incredible book on how to plug in and ask yourselves, how can I help make a difference? You all know that you already have. Every one of you have created a ripple effect in our world, and we are now finally are being able to come together worldwide, all cultures, all people, to say no to war and say yes to peace, unity, love, and respect and honor to everyone on this planet. The website is www.givepeaceadeadline.com. I also have a wealth of information on my show page. So on that note, Nathan, very important question here, because you really have emphasized action through access. Please explain to us tonight, what do you both mean by action through access?
Action through access, excuse me, action through access is an expression of the promise that Amber and I made to the world to cause world peace by 2014. And when we looked at what was missing, we saw that there was a gap in that ordinary people generally didn't have the information, tools, and connection to take an action for peace that was within their skills and their passions. So action through access is a way for us to make peace what we call user-friendly, to turn it into a cottage industry. And by the end of this year, we will have very powerful tools on our website, which I recommend anyone go to, which you've given the name of it there, to have the power to act on a regular basis together with other people to create peace, on peace teams, on what moves you. For instance, you could adopt a conflict somewhere in Africa or in Southeast Asia or in South America and find the one peace that most inspires you based on your wish for humanity, what your contribution is. And it's our mission to make action through access a reality for everyone who wants to contribute to peace, and we find that's the majority of people.
You bet it is. And so that would lead me to your next question, because, you know, I was sitting here thinking, you know, why the 5 years, and what is it that an average citizen could actually do to contribute to greater peace? And so I'm going to go ahead and let you answer that, because I do realize you have touched on some of that, but let's go ahead and bring that forward as well.
Well, why now is a critical time, is Strauss and Howe, who are respected demographers in Washington, D.C., wrote a book called The Fourth Turning, where they describe every 80 to 100 years comes a time that is where a new social agreement can emerge. And it's called a crisis. And we're in that now, as we've seen with the current economic meltdown. It's the mainstream populations are ready to act because they feel that something's off. Something in the system is broken. And so the next 10 to 15 years is critical for people who have a vision for the world, who want to see new values emerge, who want to see their values represented in the government, in the military, to band together to create it together. And that's what we're doing.
Very, very nice. So how do we make peace user-friendly? Nate, if you would.
Well, we're all familiar, or many of us are familiar, with the social networking parts of the Internet, like Facebook. There's a new paradigm emerging called communities of purpose. And in communities of purpose, they're like social networking sites that are using the power of electronic media and face-to-face interaction to create effective action. Now, that all sounds sort of high level, but fundamentally, it's like you go to a website, you sign up, you find events near you, you find a peace walk near you, you find out, you know, if you're a hairdresser, you find other hairdressers who are working for peace and what they're doing, and you plug into and really connect yourself in a loving, fun way with a community of people that are doing something great for the planet, and it boils down to that.
And logging on to givepeaceadeadline.com to meet great people and to get peace action updates is one way to make your involvement user-friendly. Following the green movement, in the next year and a half, we are committed to creating these transparent consumer guides so that when you go shopping for your home, you can know whether the detergent you picked up contributed to violent conflict or to peaceful conflict, because most people don't know who's involved in the conflicts or if they're financing it. And what we noticed is we're involved in war. Unless we go escape to a cave and live off of air, we're participating in our consumer dollars and our taxes. I'm currently supporting war in another country, which doesn't reflect my values. So we're looking at making it easier with these consumer guides and online tools for everyday people who are concerned, like you and me, to make a difference and practically contribute.
Yes. And, you know, and that was one of the areas within your book that I had really observed, and where you have empowered people with different websites, how to participate, or along with getting updates. And, you know, we all know that knowledge is empowerment. And when we choose to empower ourselves with that knowledge, we can utilize these tools, because you have a wealth of that information in this book to share with so many people. And you don't always see that being given in a lot of the books that I come across. And I have to say, you guys have done an amazing job to really bring this all together. And you know what's very refreshing about the both of you? Is that the three of us can come together and talk about a very sensitive subject as war, and be able to peacefully talk about and come together and say, hey, we do have that empowerment to make a difference and changes. How do I get involved? How can I, because we both, all three of us know that change starts with us first, and then we give others the same permission to do the same.
Some of the initiatives people have taken have been extraordinary already. A young man in New York put together a peace launch party with 800 people in 1 week. The mayor of Port Chester, New York, told us he wanted his whole community to be for peace in 5 years, and he's putting together an entire curriculum for his town to be the model town that's standing for peace for the whole world. People in Salt Lake City are already getting together to make Salt Lake County the leading peace county of the United States. So there's a lot of action that people are spontaneously taking. And the amazing thing, Amber and I have seen people have made the same promise that we have made. You know, hundreds of people have made the pledge to create peace by February 14th, 2014. The moment someone takes that pledge with a sincere intent, their life changes in big, positive ways, and they see the world differently, and they get out of bed knowing they have a deadline for a big promise for the world, and knowing that the resources will come to them, and they need to be creative, and it's just very exciting, no matter their profession. We're not talking about people that are leaving their jobs or, you know, selling their house to go to Kenya or something like that, although people do that too, but we're talking about ordinary people who dedicate what they're already doing to the world and how that has such an incredible effect on their lives. I mean, I'm so excited when I see that happening.
You bet, and I do too. You know, I'm just one of those individuals because, you know, that is one of my desires and passions, and, you know, that was one of the reasons why I had chosen to be a radio host, is to really bring forth that enlightenment and incitement that, first and foremost, we are very empowered beings, and that once we come together with a greater understanding that we do indeed make a difference, and to share that and bring groups together, miracles happen. Not to say that miracles don't already, because they do, but big things happen.
Right. You know, sometimes there's a collective forming of empowered beings, and sometimes the question comes up of, well, how do I know what to focus on? What's the most leveraged action? There's so many great causes that I care about that I know I can make a difference in. Like, where do I focus? And what we've discovered is that creating quality conflict, or the future of conflict, is the most leveraged action. One common misconception is that we need to provide all human basic needs before we can have world peace. And what we discovered talking to the United States Aid Agency is that they will not go in to provide basic needs in violent conflict areas. Speaking to executive directors that provide water, they will not go into violent conflict areas. So it's an area of disease where the quality of life continues to go down for people, where we can't provide education or food and for these people.
Or the basic necessities of just, you know, everyday survival or living. And we all have that right to quality of life. And so, yes, we do. And it breaks my heart. It hurts. It hurts deeply to see a child suffer. Even an adult, you know, I love the children and, you know, this is my child. These are our children. And it's important for us to be good stewards of our children of the world. And even to see an adult or even an animal not have the basic needs of life is a major concern for all of us, you know. And one of the areas that I always share with the listeners of the show is being good stewards of self, good stewards of sisters and brothers worldwide, to be kind to everyone, because it takes less energy. And always ask yourself, how may I be of service? And it only takes a moment. Don't get me started, either one of you.
Well, I love it. You're doing such great work on your show, because media, we talk about media and Good Peace a Deadline. It's such an important element of creating new ideas and getting people to understand that peace is possible, it has a deadline, and you can help. And you're connecting with people who are up to big things in life. And it's a really important work you're doing, and thank you.
Thank you for saying that, because I feel very strongly about that, what you have just shared about all the listeners that are really tuning into this show, and many of them have been with me since the very first broadcast eons ago, it seems. Mm. And I love the connection with the people. I've watched them grow. I've watched them say yes to themselves and ask themselves, you know, how can I truly be of service? And as you both know, it starts with self first, and then it's giving others that permission as well. So this is a very important question, and I really feel drawn to make sure that we touch on this question. And I'd like to ask Nate, if I may, and I'd like to say, you know, we've seen through many eons of time so many efforts to try to come together and to compromise and find a balanced solution for everyone. So let me ask you this, Nate. Why hasn't past methods or efforts worked?
Past methods and efforts are extraordinarily important to what we're doing now. The efforts of peacemakers in the past were standing on their shoulders now, and they've made possible to give it a deadline. At some point, we have to be 5 years away from world peace. And Amber and I said, why not let it be now? And we said, what would we have to do to make that come true? And so there's many insights which have arisen in pockets around the world and deep understandings. One of our advisors, William Urey, who founded the Harvard Global Negotiation Project, wrote a book called The Third Side, which has a great deal of the theory that we're relying on. And many other authors and diplomats and statesmen have contributed to what it is that we're putting together. But what's new about what we're doing is we're putting together a comprehensive global plan that helps ordinary people change the game on the international level. So ordinary people can now say, no, we want a different set of rules and agreements for how we agree to handle conflict. And we're creating together a new norm. And that's what's new. Conflicts have been addressed in a piecemeal fashion. You know, in one country, protesters protest against one war. That's been the norm and the typical model. This is the entire world saying yes to constructive conflict and saying yes to a new future that's far more exciting than if we do nothing.
Absolutely.
And so that's new about what we're doing and why we expect to succeed.
Absolutely. I'd like to take a moment and remind everyone to please visit www.givepeaceadeadline.com. I have an incredible, amazing book in front of me, and I have to tell you, hands off, people, this is my book. It has just got an incredible wealth of information that really gives you not only strong insight on how to be active in our world today, but also gives you some very powerful links as well so that you can be informed of what's going on in our world today. On that note, I'd like to invite our caller, Marcus from New Hampshire, to the show. Aloha, Marcus.
Aloha. Yes, I mean, I definitely agree with everything that's said, and as Leilani and I are working on with some teleconferences and we'll be doing some webinars, is trying to work with all the light workers of Wayshores and the planet through networking, through all of us being connected together, and bringing about a mutual collective consciousness and raising our awareness on all levels of our being, and being the higher light and consciousness of creation, and spreading it, and so that we're not just being the beacons of the higher light consciousness, but also the anchors, anchoring the infinite love and peace of the universe into all of whom what we are, and it will spread throughout the rest of the collective consciousness on the planet. the more and more awakened and anchored the people that are doing the higher work are, the more it will expand into the collective consciousness of the planet. Sort of like the 100th monkey theory, which is a known fact, it works the same way, and it is already happening through all different high vibration radio shows and online sites and so forth that are of that highest of intentions. So we are doing the work. We just need to step it up a bit more and just push the envelope even more and bring it into full fruition and action, to take more action steps on all levels, both in the metaphysical, spiritual arenas, as well as the work that you are doing, you know. And I went to the website, I already bookmarked it, so I'm going to read it over more later. And it, from what I saw, it looked really good. You know, I loved it, so I'm going to definitely read it through later.
Isn't their work excellent? I was just, you know, I went, wow, this is incredible work. And these two individuals, Nathan and Amber, have really stepped up, and they're making things, big things happen. And so I'm glad you did that, Marcus. So let me ask you this question, if I may, on sharing some of your thoughts. You know, because I know of the great works you're doing, and you've got this great teleconference that's about to happen on Sunday and stuff, but, you know, what is your thoughts on bringing together people to help them gain more peace and the greater understanding that about war, and it's time to put our weapons down?
Well, basically, the more that we can raise the consciousness vibration, light quotient of the collective consciousness, it will come on down to the conscious awareness of everyone on the planet. But the first thing is that us light workers and way showers need to be fully awakened. Those of us that work with the highest of vibrations, like Leilani and myself, we're like the Kinmai. And there's a lot of other light workers and way showers on the planet that are somewhat awakened, but not fully awakened. But once they are fully awakened to really anchor these higher frequencies, it will then spread like a bonfire to the rest of the consciousness. I mean, it's already happening, but the more that we do these teleconferences, webinars, shows like this, like you're doing tonight,
that and Nathan and Amber's work.
Exactly. It's all connected. It's all part of the higher divine plan. So, Leilani, can you make sure that they have my email address? Because I would love to speak with them personally. And,
absolutely.
You know, take something on, and make sure that they have a copy of the teleconference information. I email that to you as well.
Oh, and excellent. I will do that.
I would love the two of them to come if they can. And this way they can work on both, on all levels of their being and more.
Absolutely. I'd like to give Amber or Nathan the opportunity to share their own thoughts of what you have shared with us.
Well, first, thank you for anchoring the light, you know, practically in the world. And one way that we can support you and where we can collaborate is even posting what you're creating on the Give Peace a Deadline website, and even committing a certain number of hours or prayers or conferences to manifesting peace on the earth by February 14th, 2014, and bringing that conscious awareness to that date and bringing people in around that date, because you're energy and vibration makes a massive difference, and it's really important to have that kind of collective consciousness around this project and around the people who are working on the ground in this area. So thank you.
Nathan, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear
us? If you would share your own thoughts as well with Marcus.
Marcus, thank you. As Amber said, thank you for anchoring the light. I appreciate the spiritual dimension that you hold. Amber and I, as she mentioned, come from a deep background of spiritual practice, and we have a great appreciation for that. And I just want to express our ability to put something out in the world that's practical, it's got a plan, it's got deadlines, it speaks to scientific types and government types and diplomats and soldiers in the military. The only reason we can have such a far outward expression of peace is because people like you are supporting the core. You're generating the light. You're rallying people who are at that high vibration, and it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And you know what I really, really like as well, and that is what unity is all about, is we come together and supporting each other, because as you both know, our universe is unlimited. And there's so much plentifulness for everyone. And if, as we continue coming more and more together, for such as Amber saying, you know, please post the information up. Thank you for that, Amber. And I ask you tonight, to both of you, how may I be of service to a deadline, the peace for deadline?
There's, for anyone wondering about peace, there's three simple things to know, which is that peace is possible. We can have high-quality conflict on our planet. The second is it has a deadline, and it's February 14th, 2014. And the third thing for anyone to know is that they can make a difference. And I would suggest the difference that you can make is to have your listeners keep asking the question, the high-quality question, how can we create peace? How can I create peace by February 14th, 2014?
Absolutely. I'd like to bring my caller back very quickly because we are getting close to the end of our broadcast. And Marcus, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
I really want to thank you for bringing that forth tonight to all the listeners, and also thank you for the work and the dedication and the thirst and passion that you have to share your wisdom and knowledge worldwide with everyone as well. And I do. I look forward to the continued journey with you. So God bless you, and thank you for calling into the show.
Yeah, I just want to express divine love and light and blessings from all the aspects of my soul and being, and from all the universe to all the listeners here. May everyone receive the blessings that they need for their highest good, from the highest aspect of their soul essence to the earth plane embodiments here. Infinite love and blessings and infinite living light.
Thank you, and blessings to you as well. Have a good night. I really want to thank you, Nathan and Amber, for sharing a part of yourselves with us all tonight. I'd like to personally invite all of the listeners to the Universal Spiritual Connection to really explore the website givepeaceadeadline.com. And remember to ask yourselves, how may I be of greater service? How may I participate in giving not only myself but everyone around me the permission to say yes to peace, because we are the empowerment? I'd like to give Nathan a moment to share last-minute thoughts before we have to say goodnight.
Leilani, thank you so much for having me and Amber on your show tonight. And thank you to all the listeners out there who are points of light that are spreading what is coming, the future of quality conflict. I want to thank you in advance for creating the vision that we're all going to be standing in 5 years or less.
Ooh, nice. Very nice. And Amber, if you would, share your last-minute thoughts.
No, my thoughts are that many of us, some of the listeners, some of us know that we're destined for big things, and we've been given certain visions, certain gifts throughout our lives. And for you who feel the calling of peace, to know that it's possible, that there are other people out there that you can collaborate with to create this vision on earth and to put your divine powers to good use. For those of you who know that you are the divine essence, the divine power, that there's something that you can create on this planet in this lifetime that will benefit all people long after you're gone. And I invite you to collaborate with me and Nathan and Leilani and all of us who are working for this epic endeavor. And thank you.
Thank you to both of you. I'd like to personally invite all the listeners that have websites or are involved with networks or whatever the case may be. There's a great way of also getting that message out and supporting Nate and Amber with the great works that they're doing is consider. I'd like to invite you all to consider of posting their information up on your website to share with the world. As you all know, it's all about unity and all of us standing side by side with each other. Nathan and Amber, it has been truly an honor to have you both on the show this evening. I'd like to personally invite you both back to the show and keep us posted on the great works and let us know how we can be of great service to both of you.
Thank you, Leilani.
Thank you so much. We'd love to be back on your show.
Yes.
It is our honor to have you both. Remember this to all of you out there. Greatness starts with you. You are the power, the empowerment, and the authority of you, your worlds, and activities. Unity is what it's all about. Remember that the breath, that each breath you take is the voice of your heart. Give yourselves and others around you the permission to claim their own greatness. Always remember to ask yourselves each and every day, how may I be of greater service? I love each and every one of you. I am truly honored to be with all of you this evening. On that note, good night to each and every one of you, and God bless to Nathan, Amber, and to all of you. Good night.
Maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly?